I hate being left out, whether it's not being picked for a team or being picked for a team and then showing up and realizing that the team doesn't exist or that the sport doesn't exist. I should have known. Poop ball.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Wise here with you once again. Before we get into everything, including our special guest, Ben Albright, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Guys, smash that subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. Every subscription helps. Helps the channel grow. Helps us. And I think as of last week, if you search NY Giants on the App Store, we're the number one option that comes up. So thank you guys for making us one of the top searches for Giants podcasts on the iTunes Store. Weiss, how are you?
Ethan, what's going on, buddy?
Honestly, not too much. You know, we covered a lot last week. It's been sort of quiet in the Giants world over the past few days. I guess the only major thing that happened, and it wasn't even Giants related, and I'm sure we'll get into it when we get Ben on the podcast, is the Brandon Cooks trade to the Rams. The Rams get their wide receiver. The Odell Beckham trade rumors finally get put to rest, except for those. I'm sure Pat Leonard is going to be pushing the Odell to the Patriots nonsense.
I don't think that's going to go to rest until if and when Odell gets that long-term deal.
I mean, listen, man, that's why the Odell Defense Brigade is 24-7. We don't sleep. We're here every single day, every hour, and we're ready to defend our mans.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing? I realized that, like, right before – I was looking at some right before we started. Did you know that Odell and Julio Jones had the same number of touchdowns last year?
I saw you tweet that.
I mean, that's bizarre to me. I was just looking at numbers last year, and it's like, wow. I didn't kind of, you know, that whole – I remember that gif of that white guy whose eyes kind of pop up?
Yeah.
That was sort of me looking at the screen like, oh, wow.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, it's surprising, but it also shouldn't be, because when Shanahan left the Falcons and Steve Sarkisian – came into the picture, people should know that Steve Sarkisian stinks. He just, like, the guy just everywhere he goes, I feel like he mismanages his talent, and Julio is a prime example of that last year. I mean, it's still crazy to me that Odell Beckham had the fourth most touchdowns on the Giants, and he was injured after week four. So, I mean, so many stats.
Can I share something with you?
Of course.
So Odell, as we know, obviously his year ended last year, right? Uh-huh. But he still racked up 25 catches for, I think, 300 yards.
Yeah.
And the 3 touchdowns, right? That, if he would have played the full 16 games, I remember he was hurt.
Extrapolate, baby. Extrapolate it.
He would have had, I believe, for he would have 100 receptions for 1,200 yards. And this is going to be tough.
12 touchdowns?
I'm going to say 12 touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I mean... And that would have been in Ben McAdoo's offense.
Yes.
So, I mean...
He would have had Odell Beckham year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Exactly. Like, people, you throw those numbers out there, like, that's impressive for, I would say, every wide receiver in the league except for Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. Those are, like, the standard, you know what you're going to get. Like, that's the floor. That is the floor. Odell's floor is 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns in a Ben McAdoo offense.
Right.
So, with Shermer at the helm... And hopefully with that extension in place, this man is going to explode.
It's just crazy to me that there's people who have watched the Giants the last 3 years, fans I'm talking about, who will walk away from this saying, you know, we got to bring back Eli Manning, but trade Odell Beckham for picks because that helps Eli Manning more.
It makes no sense, dude. It makes absolutely no sense.
It doesn't make no sense. I know people will try to turn this into I'm saying it's the Odell Eli thing. No, what I'm saying is you want to extend Eli's career, extend it by keeping the best player on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's that simple. And I got a mock draft coming out today. If you're listening, it will be out today. My first of the year. Late but I'm going to bombard you guys with them. And I have an offensive lineman at 34. Shouldn't be hard for you guys to figure out who it is. But I do have an offensive lineman to the Giants at 34. We'll ask Ben what he thinks when we have him on in a couple minutes. One thing I did want to ask you that did happen after our podcast last week. What do you think of Marquette King?
I mean, look, the Giants have a need at punter and an all-pro punter just at the open market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, obviously that's a fit.
Round peg, round hole.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's other suitors there for him.
Of course.
I think we heard the Vikings and whatnot. I'm not sitting here saying the Giants would get into a bidding war for Marquette King.
For a punter, yeah, but...
Right, you know, but listen, you know, if he's an all-pro. They have a hole. It fills the need. I don't see why not. You know, the money's right.
Yeah, I mean, if the money's right, I'm in favor of bringing him on board. Listen, if the Giants aren't going to be a legit contender this year, which I think we both agree they're not, they're going to be an average team, even with the talent they add in the draft, hey, at least make it a little fun. Bring him on board.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when obviously it's only April right now. We still have the draft to go. We don't know what's going to happen. We've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen in this league. But right now, just looking at it, you know, face value, I mean, the Giants are about, I would say probably between the eighth or the ninth best team in the NFC.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe I'm being generous considering they were the worst last year. But I think, you know, given the fact that, you know, they got Nate Solder, they added some guys on defense. I like their new defensive coordinator. I think the most important thing, with the biggest upgrade the Giants made outside of that left tackle spot was their coaching staff.
Dude, you read my mind. I was just about to comment on it.
I mean, first of all, I'm not sitting here saying Pat Shurmur is going to, you know, be this great coach, but I'm willing to bet that he's going to be better than Ben McAdoo. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number in all aspects of coaching, not just play calling, but in all aspects. They got a defensive coordinator in James Betcher, who I think is going to be a head coach in a year or two. Way bigger upgrade than Spagnuolo, if you ask me.
Uh-huh.
So, and they finally got a special teams coach that, you know, listen, everyone said anybody's better than Tom Quinn, right? So, I mean,
it's like addition by subtraction to a certain point, but not only that, because they actually upgraded.
Right. So in my opinion, I think the coaching staff is their biggest upgrade, and I think they will contend. I think Eli Manning will have a solid year, regardless what they do with that number two pick, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a trade down, whether it's a, you know, Barkley or a Chubb or whatever. I do think they're going to be better. I think they put an emphasis on improving the offensive line. I think, you know, Evan Engram is going to be a lot better going into year two.
Yep.
Maybe he makes a big jump. You know, obviously having Odell back, that's going to help too. He's a game changer. So I think they're going to be better. Playoffs, I mean, I don't know. Could I see them being in the hunt? I mean, we can see them possibly being in the hunt. You know, could they go, you know, 8-8, you know, possibly, you know, flirt with a 9-7? Sure, absolutely. But this notion that, you know, they're one of the top teams in the NFC, I mean, I just don't see it. The NFC is so stacked.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're sort of that 8-9, you know, in the hunt for their wild card. But, you know, ultimately, I just don't see them being a team that's going to contend for a Super Bowl in 2018.
Yeah,
I'm wrong.
Of course. But I think, at least for me, you know, throw play calling out the window. I don't think that there were any worse coaches in the NFL last year at getting the best out of their talent than Ben McAdoo and Steve Spagnuolo. And if you look at Betcher, that's what he's known for, putting his players in the best position to succeed. Same thing with Pat Shurmur. He'll scheme around his talent, and I think that's what's going to make the biggest difference.
Yeah, I think offensively, I think they're going to be a lot better. Defensively, they have a lot of holes.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary, some question marks. Obviously, linebacker. I mean, Ogletree is a good pickup, mm-hmm. but which Ogletree are we going to get? Are we going to get last year's Ogletree, or are we going to get the Ogletree in 2016? So,
I mean, even last year's Ogletree is an upgrade, honestly.
Absolutely. But as it pertains to how good the defense will be, I mean, if they get the 2016 Ogletree, then, you know, this defense can be really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they get the 2017, well, then there's going to be some question marks. But I'm interested to see what happens. Obviously, the 3-4, how much they sprinkle that in. It's going to be interesting, but I think for the draft, you know, obviously, you know, you and I have harped on it for the longest time, ever since the season ended. You know, to me, if the Giants walk out of 2018 with a franchise quarterback for the future,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a win. That's a win, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last thing I think for the Giants' sake is, them to not get a quarterback in this draft, not see anything from Davis Webb again, and finish the season 8-8, and then, you know, have to look at the situation and say, well, do we have to mortgage a whole bunch of picks to move up and get a quarterback? And who knows who will be in the 2019 draft? So, you know, it's an interesting debate to have. We have it on Twitter all the time. I think it's when you look at it, I mean, teams have lined themselves up
to be in the position the Giants are. Yeah.
Not only that, teams passed on quarterbacks last year. I mean, Buffalo passed on a quarterback.
And look at them now.
You know, Cleveland passed on a quarterback. Now, what those guys are trying to do is they're trying to hop into the top 10, hop into the top 5 to get their crack at one of these quarterbacks. So, mm-hmm. you know, and we now we know what New England is. We think what New England might have an interest in. So, listen, if New England, who has the reigning MVP as their quarterback, coming off a Super Bowl berth, is thinking about, you know, these quarterbacks, then, you know, maybe the Giants, if they're not, should take a step back and really look at this and say, are we being fooled here?
Yeah.
You know, like, are we not scouting these quarterbacks correctly? But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm interested to see. The draft season is just so, so terrible.
Yeah, man.
And it's so long, and people just harp and rumors and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I just wish I could hurry up and get here.
Absolutely. All right, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll bring in Ben Albright, and we'll get more draft talk popping after that. NYG Weekly, Ethan and Weiss, we're back. We have NFL insider Benjamin Albright with us. You can follow him on Twitter, at AlbrightNFL. Ben, thank you for taking the time from the car phone. Let's get into it. Let's jump right into the quarterbacks. I guess my first question for you, and it pertains to the Giants, obviously, who do you think the Browns are taking number one overall? I have my opinion based on their offseason moves. I believe it's Sam Darnold. Curious to see what your take is.
Well, I've been saying Sam Darnold since back in January. Talking to Brown sources and talking to to Darnold's camp. I can tell you this: Sam Darnold's camp would be stunned if he was not the number one overall pick.
Interesting. All right, and my train of thought here is, if they bring in Tyrod Taylor for 1 year, that's sort of that 1 year gap where Sam Darnold rides the bench, learns the NFL. They fix his mechanical issues, and then he's ready to step in year two.
Kind of. That theorem could also apply to Josh Allen, who the sure. Browns have as the second quarterback on their board. Well, some of them do, some of them at Baker Mayfield, but yep. they're still building their board. But, that could apply either way. The thing about Darnold is that Darnold is very, very young. Sam Darnold were to start week one for the Browns, he would be the second youngest starting quarterback in NFL history behind Tommy Maddox. So, it'll be good for him. There's more to being quarterback than, you know, than just getting out there and letting it rip. You've got to learn the offense, learn the cadence, learn your teammates, learn what motivates them, learn the audible calls, learn the check with me, learn protections, you know, things like that. So there's something to be said for sitting a quarterback early and allowing him time to absorb the scheme and absorb the other intricacies of being a quarterback so that he can go out there year two, be confident, and take command of the huddle rather than come out there like a, you know, green as grass rookie and look like an idiot in front of your teammates.
So we have Darnold going one. I think collectively we both understand that. I'm not buying the Allen stuff. I was definitely not buying the Saquon Barkley stuff. Now here are the Giants at two. Before I ask you this, I will say this for people that don't know. I've been following Ben for a while, and I told him this too. He's been really plugged in when it comes to quarterbacks. I mean, he's pretty much nailed, I think, the majority of them. I'm going to buy into it, whatever he says. So I'm going to ask you this, Ben. Giants are on the clock at two. Who do you think they're leaning towards right now?
Well, I tell you, there's two quarterbacks the Giants like in this draft, and that's Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. So if Darnold is gone, then it would be Josh Rosen at number two.
Can we put to bed the rumors that the Giants are going to skip on a quarterback at number two or trade this pick?
I would not put those to bed. Those are still possibilities. There's three names really kind of in play at number two, and that's Josh Rosen, that's Chubb, and then that's, you know, in a distant third there, Saquon Barkley. Now, there are some, you know, obviously some trade scenarios in play there. And if the Bills or the Patriots or one of those other teams were to try to move up, they would definitely listen to the offer. They'd have to be blown away by it, but they would definitely listen.
So I'm not really buying the non-quarterback at two. I think if it's not a quarterback, if it's not Josh Rosen in this sense, I think they're going to trade back. Do you think that they, like, you know, New England obviously is picking late in the first round. They got the two first-round picks after today's trade. But Buffalo's picking 12 and I think 21 or 22. Do you think the Giants would actually trade out of the top 10? And what would it cost, in your opinion, for them to actually trade out of that top 10 spot?
Well, it would cost them both first rounders. Let's say Buffalo. It would cost both first rounders, probably a second next year, and probably another pick, you know, another mid-round type pick for them to be able to do it, maybe a player. So, you know, it's not prohibitively expensive. It's not even prohibitively expensive for New England to get out there. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you've got to pay a lot to do it. You know, you said you don't buy the non-quarterback thing. I would caution you and tell you that Chubb is in play, very, very much in play there. Dave Gettleman loves defensive linemen, loves to draft them early. If you go back and look at his draft history, you know, he's drafted defensive linemen in the first and second round just consistently. So I would caution that that Chubb is more in play there at two than perhaps is recognized by the media.
Got it. Now, in terms of the quarterback play at number two, Weiss and I were talking about this before we had you on. We've been talking about it for a few weeks now, honestly. And it seems like the Giants are in perfect position to sort of mimic the model that has been, you know, the Rams and the Eagles, where, you know, you have a bad year, you're in position to draft that future quarterback, let him develop for a year, and then really take off because you have a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract, and then you're allowed to spend that cap space on the remaining pieces that you need to be competitive for 3 to 4 years. You think that this is like a model that a lot of teams are going to start to follow?
Well, I think it's the model right now. There's really, you know, there's several vogue ways to try to go about winning a Super Bowl. And, you know, the current one seems to be to attempt to build a defense, get a cheap young quarterback that can play a little bit early and kind of ride that, you know, ride that to a Super Bowl. We saw the Seahawks do it with Russell Wilson. We saw the Rams try to do it. Eagles obviously did it. You know, we kind of saw the Broncos do it, except that they didn't use a young quarterback. They actually had a high-priced veteran. Let's say high-priced. Peyton Manning was out of $16 million per year, which was middle of the road at that point. But, you know, we've seen that's kind of the formula, it seems like, recently. The Vikings, of course, were expensive at quarterback, but they, you know, Case was cheap, but they were expensive because they had the Bradford contract that it was. So, you know, we've seen that work out. So I think that I think you see people try to do that. I think it's, you know, it's feasible for the Giants too, especially if they want to keep Odell Beckham, then you have to draft Josh Rosen there.
Especially if you want to extend Landon Collins as well.
Exactly. And so you've got a scenario in which you've got veterans that, you know, that you want to keep, and you've got, if you want to keep, if they deal Odell Beckham, that could tip their hand as far as, you know, moving in a different direction. But I would suggest that if they don't deal Odell Beckham, then you have to go quarterback early, unless you just believe Davis Webb is the second coming.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, I don't think any of us believe that. I'm just saying, no. You know, inside the organization.
Look, I like Davis Webb's work ethic. I like that he's, you know, committed. But, I mean, come on. Third-round pick by a regime that's not here. It just doesn't make sense that they would buy into that much to pass on the quarterback. But I'll ask you this. So, you know, they like Darnold. They like Rosen. We're saying Darnold goes one to Cleveland. You know, now at two, you got Rosen, you got Barkley, you got Chubb, and you got trade back. What do you think is the most likely scenario? I think from what's likely to happen to what's least likely is to happen.
As it sits today, I would say Rosen, then Chubb, then trade back, then Barkley.
Interesting. Okay. So the Barkley hubbub, mostly smokescreen.
Hopefully they listen to this.
Well, I mean, there's interest there, but again, the impact of running back in the modern game is so minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the last couple of years taking guys early, Todd Gurley was a non-factor for the Rams the year before last. Ezekiel Elliott, the year before he got there, Darren McFadden was second in the league in rushing behind that offensive line. It didn't really affect Dallas's fortunes. You look at Leonard Fournette. Everybody talks about how the Jags improved. Well, the Jags were 7-6 with Fournette in the lineup and 3-0 with him out of it. This idea that running backs early is a smart endeavor based on recent success is really kind of a mirage. And while I'm not saying Saquon Barkley is talented or not talented, whatever, he's a talented running back. I think he's overhyped. And I think if you go back and look at his production and look at what he did, I don't think that he's the guy or the piece that's taking anybody and adding 2 to 3 wins to them.
Right. Is Baker Mayfield in play at number 2 for the Giants at all?
Not that I am aware of. He is very in play at number 3, but yep. I don't know that he's – I have not heard of that anything being in play for him at number 2.
What about Josh Allen?
Also not in play as far as I know at number 2.
Okay, so Giants fans can rest easy a little bit. I know the fan base is not a fan of Josh Allen. Weiss and I can definitely attest to that. Where is the lowest that you see Baker Mayfield falling? Say the Jets like Josh Allen. I don't see Mayfield getting past the Broncos at 5.
I don't think the Broncos want to go with a quarterback at that pick. They might. If Mayfield was there, Allen was there, they might go with one of those two. But I think they want to go in a different direction. I think a trade-up to 4 or a trade-up to 6 would be your most likely scenario. You could see Miami, who really likes Baker Mayfield, try to get up to 6. You could see Buffalo try to get up to 4 or 6, maybe even 5. I would suggest though that range is probably the furthest that he falls. I cannot see a scenario in which Baker Mayfield gets past 6.
Got it.
So we're sort of putting together, I think, Ben's mock a little bit. So he's got Darnold 1, he's got Rosen 2, and I believe he got Mayfield at 3, if I'm not mistaken.
It'd be Mayfield or Allen at 3, and right now give the edge to Baker Mayfield.
All right. So now Cleveland there at 4. Cleveland could field calls and try to turn that pick into a bunch of picks. Do they do that, or do they go Bradley Chubb maybe, team him with Myles Garrett,
is it Saquon Barkley? That's the question. I think they would go Chubb. I think they would take him. They're very, very big fans of his. I don't think you take Saquon Barkley. You already have diet Saquon Barkley on that roster and Duke Johnson, a receiving back out of the backfield who can run, and then you've got Carlos Hyde you just paid all that money to. So the idea that you would invest a high draft pick and even more money in the running back position for a team that doesn't run the ball that much, it just doesn't seem likely. It doesn't seem like something they would do, and it's certainly not something I had heard. I think they like the idea of rotating Myles Garrett, Emmanuel Ogba, and Bradley Chubb together to get a dynamic pass rush going on that defense. And I think Greg Robinson is a big factor in that. So, I think that Chubb, if he is there at 4 and not taking it 2, I think he would be the pick.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I mean, having 3 pass rushers, 2 sort of elite pass rushers, and Garrett and what we think Chubb can be on a rookie contract, I think that's huge for the Browns. How far do you see Saquon Barkley falling? Does he take sort of like what O.J. Howard did and fall out of the top 10? Or do you see him, he is a top 10 pick, and where do you think he could fall?
I don't think he falls out of the top 10. I've always said he's going to go lower than the media said. I thought that was going to be Tampa. I continue to say that. If you were doing a mock draft, I would say Tampa's the area where he falls.
Okay, makes sense.
More of a general draft question for you. I've been doing some research. I've been looking specifically at running backs, and it's such a talented class, such a deep class. My opinion is that Rashad Penny, the bang for your buck in terms of his draft stock and what he's capable of on the field, I think that he's probably, in terms of value, one of the best picks in the second, third, fourth round. God knows where he's going to end up. Who is your best value pick? And it can be in any round.
Well, in what position group? I mean, if you're talking about the running backs, I think Sonny Michel or Richard Penny that you mentioned are going to be, going to be two of those guys. I would say if you look at a receiver, a guy like Michael Gallup out of Colorado State, you're probably going to be able to get him in the second or third round. It's going to be a steal for somebody. So, I think if you're looking at you're looking at those two positions, I would say those are pretty good steals.
So let's go to another position that's of need for the Giants. Who's an offensive lineman that is going to go higher than people think, that people might not know too much about?
I think everybody probably knows about Will Hernandez by now. You know, he'll be gone pretty early. You know, the first round is really going to be kind of a dearth of offensive linemen. You're going to have Quentin Nelson go. You're going to have Will Hernandez and Mike McGlinchey go. And that's really kind of that top tier. You know, I know the guys who kind of fallen back a little bit. Connor Williams, a lot of guys viewed him as a guard. You know, Orlando Brown tested horribly, you know, in his pro day. So, you know, there's a lot of mid-tier type guys in there that are kind of, I don't want to say interchangeable, because that's doing a disservice when you're talking about a kid. But at the same time, I think that's kind of the scenario. There's not really anybody shaking themselves out in that kind of muddled middle.
Let's go into, I think I'm pretty much out of draft questions right now. We do have some fan questions we'll get into a little bit later. Let's talk Odell for a minute. We talked about him briefly in the beginning. In terms of the trade rumors that have been swirling, and mostly the fire that's been stoked by Pat Leonard, what do you make of these rumors? How legitimate are they? Weiss and I have been consistent in saying that they aren't very substantial. You know, of course a team is going to call and inquire, and of course the Giants are going to listen. It would be foolish of them not to. Are there any teams that you know of that have called the Giants and there were legitimate trade talks between those two teams?
Well, the Rams called to kind of get framework. You know, there have been other teams that have casually called to kind of get framework. But it's so interesting to see the wording sometimes that people use on things. You know, the reality is that, yeah, the Giants are kind of shopping Beckham in the sense that, you know, they want to know what they can get for him. And they want to see if, you know, if that's the direction they go, or if the direction they go is going to be to, you know, to kind of keep him. You know, there's been some issues, you know, and so there's definitely a concern there. And before they tie up a ton of money in him, they want to see what the market is like. On the same time, they're not just going to give him away. So this idea that they're just trying to throw him out there and see what they can get, from the sense that it's a fire sale, is not realistic. So, you know, with any story, there's three sides to it, you know, his, hers, and the truth. And I would suggest if you kind of triangulate the information that's out there, you can kind of drill down at the truth. And that's it. The Giants have some severe concerns with Odell Beckham and giving him a lot of money. They're testing the market to see what they can get. And if there's an abundance of picks that they can get for him, they're certainly open to it.
So I'll be straight up with you then. How do you see this playing out? Is this a situation where do you see him getting traded? And if so, could it be before the draft, or could it be sometime in the off, you know, later on in the off season? Or do you see Odell getting a long-term contract, or does he just play on this $8 million fifth-year option?
I would suggest that it is more likely than not that he plays somewhere else, but it's not impossible that he comes back to New York at all. I would suggest that if he's going to be traded, it would happen before the draft. You don't want to come away from the draft needing a receiver and giving the Giants all the leverage in a trade thing. So if a team is serious, you'll see them step up before the draft and make that work. The longer this drags on, like into the draft and after that, the more likely Odell is staying.
How can the Giants put this to rest? Do they, if they're serious about trading him? I mean, obviously we saw what the Rams did. We still have, you know, there's other teams that will call. Obviously, you know, San Francisco is a team that we've heard. I mean, maybe Indianapolis. But are you saying that if it's not settled by the draft, then you expect him to come back to New York and get the long-term deal? Or is it fifth-year option, play it out, and then we'll go from there?
I think it's a we'll go from there. I think it's a, you know, a year probationary thing, because if they let him walk, they're still going to be in the compensatory compensation for you know, for a third rounder. So they won't get he won't get away for nothing, you know. So I think when you look at it, it's it becomes a probationary deal at that point. Hey, you keep your head on straight. You prove to us that you know, we know what you are on the field. You prove to us that you're worth this money off the field, and you know, we're good to go. So I don't think that. I don't think it's put to bed at that point. I just think that if the draft comes and goes and he's still a Giant, he's going to play as a Giant at that point.
Got it. I think that about does it for me. I'm going to ask you one more question, and then Weiss, if you have any others, you can finish up. Ben, give us your prediction for the New York Giants, obviously coming off a 3-13 season. I don't think that, especially with the coaching upgrades and Odell hopefully coming back, I don't think that they're as bad as that record indicates, nor do we think that they're a serious contender. You know, Weiss and I are of the belief that they're a 7-9, maybe 9-7 at best team. Where do you see the Giants in 2018?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I don't think they're a three-win team, but you're in a fairly tough division. Obviously, you've got the Super Bowl champs in that division. You've got a Washington team that, you know, I think figures to be better. I think Alex Smith is a better fit for the Gruden Gulf Coast offense than Kirk Cousins. You know, and then, of course, you got the Cowboys in there as well. So, you know, I think you're about a 500 team. I think your win range is somewhere between 6 and 9. You know, 9 if you catch all the breaks, 6 if you catch none of the breaks.
Yep.
You know, and go from there. I think, you know, you got to remember, you're a team that had a lot of continuity up until this past season. So this is going to be a start fresh thing. There's going to be some motivation. They're going to win some on adrenaline that they shouldn't, and they're going to lose some because, you know, they're still getting used to the Shermer system versus the Coughlin continuation with the McAdoo. So I think it's important to remember it's a team in transition, and there's going to be, you know, it's going to be some hit and misses. It's how they bounce back from that really tells where this team is going.
So, you know, obviously the Giants, you know, they made, you know, a front office change, GM, head coach. What are your thoughts on Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman? Did the Giants finally get it right, in your opinion, or is it sort of too early to say?
Well, it's two different people, and I have two different opinions on them. Pat Shurmur, you know, I'm a big fan of. You'll get frustrated with him because there's a lot of dink and dunk and a lot of bizarre stuff in his playbook that you're just like, what were you doing when he throws a tight end screen on 3rd and 8? you know, but... so it'll frustrate you at times with some of the play calls, but I think he's a brilliant football mind, and I think he'll maximize the quarterback position. I'm not a big Dave Gettleman guy, personally. There's some ties back here to Denver, and I'm just not a big Dave Gettleman guy. I don't think that he, at least in his first go-round as a general manager, understood enough about the personal nature of the business versus the business nature of the business. He cleared up some of the contracts, the bad contracts that Marty Herney had, but he had a problem relating to players and players and drove off guys and really kind of created a contentious locker room because they felt like, you know, he was out for himself, you know, and the ownership monetarily, which a general manager job is, but it's also to kind of couch that and, you know, assuage player fears and maybe, you know, create a culture that other players want to come play for. So I'm not a big Gettleman fan personally. I wish him nothing but success this time, and I hope that in his second go around he learns from his mistakes the first time.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. The one thing I will say is that, I mean, Gettleman, you know, he's 67, been in the NFL since like the 80s with Buffalo. I mean, he's didn't get a GM job until 2013. And now, you know, the second go round. I mean, I hope he's better, but you know, I'm with you, man. I don't really have my hopes up. But we'll see. I think he'll be his sort of tenure with the Giants is wrapped up with what he does with the number 2 pick here. But I agree with everything you just said.
You won't have a money issue with Dave Gettleman. That's one thing you don't have to worry about. Unlike a guy like, for instance, John Dorsey, who created a cap hell in Kansas City and only got the Cleveland job because they had so much money to play with that it wouldn't be an issue. You don't have to worry about money with Gettleman. It becomes a culture issue. So you really need a strong head coach that can keep that locker room united, and Pat can be that guy.
Do you think, I mean, obviously, you know, Gettleman being 67, do you think this is sort of a – It's sort of not set in stone, but do you think that the Giants are hoping that, you know, Kevin Abrams is sort of that next in line whenever Gettleman decides to hang it up, whether it's, you know, 5 years or whatever?
I think that's part of the plan. I think there's a succession plan in place, and I think that's on the table. So I think that's a part of it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Yeah, we're big Kevin Abrams fans, cap genius. That about does it for the questions. Ben, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. Guys, you can follow him at Albright NFL. Go follow him. If you're not following him, you're missing out on the inside information. Ben, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, anytime, guys.
And that was Ben Albright. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Albright NFL. Some great tidbits. Really, yeah. Really good tidbits.
Really, really good.
For those nervous
about... some stuff that Giant fans are going to like, some stuff that Giants are not going to like.
Depends on what side of the aisle you're on. You know, if you're quarterback guys like we are, you know, you got to be happy. Mayfield not in play, Rosen in play, and if Darnold goes to the Browns, that's it, man. Rosen at number two, and we're set for the next, hopefully, 10 years.
Yeah. The Odell stuff sort of scares me because he seems to...
I know. He buys into it.
Yeah, he's buying into it. Now, he did say that if it's not by the draft, then you can expect Odell to be a Giant. But, you know, I don't know. His comments about Gettleman, and he was a fan of Shurmur, and I do like that. But we'll see, man. I don't see John Mara trading Odell Beckham.
No.
I have a hard time coming around to that.
I mean, it's going to sound hypocritical, but I just don't buy it. I'm not buying into it.
Yeah, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I also agree with him when I say I believe the Giants are really, really, really contemplating a quarterback here. Yeah. And I don't believe that it's just Sam Darnold or I'm not taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see him taking a pass rusher. I mean, that's what the Giants are built on, right? The pass rusher. So, I don't know. It was a great interview. I think people, when they hear it, they're going to enjoy it. Maybe they should tweet at us and tell us what they thought of it.
Yeah, let us know. Tweet at us at EthanGSN, at NYGDaily. Let us know. Let us know. That'll do it for us this week. You know where you can find us. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate every single one of you. Details on where I'll be watching the draft in New York City, so that we can have like a mini watch party. TBD, I'll tweet it out, I promise. It's gonna happen. That's it. NYG Weekly, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Peace.